Hello and welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm Rachel Halliburton, and with me today to talk about Hamlet are Heather Neal, Jane Edwards, David Benedict and Kate Bassett. When Simon Russell Beale played Hamlet at the National, one headline writer was less than encouraging. Tubby or not tubby, fat is the question, was the less than charitable jibe at the man who even so went on to implore it from the critics. Yet the implication was clear. Hamlet may be a philosophical heavyweight, but in physique he is expected to be a lightweight. And Trevor Nunn's production does not disappoint on this score. Hollow-cheeked and spider-limbed, Ben Whishaw is a hero who radiates heroin chic, a boy rather than a man, flailing against the corruption in a highly modern court of Denmark. This is, as one critic has put it, Hamlet for the iPod generation. Hamlet wears a beanie hat and low-sung trousers. Ophelia is a club music-fixated schoolgirl. And Laertes at one point brandishes a machine gun. Against John Goodter's vast set, which is all looming stairways and dominant doorways, we also see Imogen Stubbs' Grace Kelly-like Gertrude, unable to keep her hands off Tom Mannion's dyed blonde Claudius. And when Fortinbras arrives in this production, it is announced by the whir of a helicopter. David, the Old Vic has seen its fair share of Hamlets. How does Whishaw stand up in a theatre filled with the ghosts of Gielgud, Burton and Olivier?
My problem is less with Whishaw's performance, which I think is very good for the first two acts and then kind of runs out of steam, because although he's mercurial and light-footed and adolescent and has all those qualities as much as you could wish for, he hasn't got the weight, the power, or the gravitas, which is expected in an actor so young. The reason that people do Hamlet in their 30s is not because people are arrogant and silly and they just want to play young. It's because you need that kind of stage experience and weight in order to pull off a role of that immensity. I don't think he stands up to the great tradition, but I also don't think he's helped by a production which is quite puzzlingly bad, in my view. I think Trevor Nunn is one of the greatest Shakespearean directors, well, certainly of my lifetime. He's done unbelievably wonderful productions of Othello, Merchant of Venice and Macbeth, and this I just could not believe that Trevor Nunn had directed Acts 3, 4 and 5. I thought it was extraordinarily disappointing.
Well, a dissenting voice to kick off with, but several critics raved about this and said it was one of the most exciting Hamlets they'd seen. Heather, would you agree with this?
I agree it was exciting, but I also agree with David that the first half was much better than Hamlet, after all, grows up in England, and this one couldn't really. However, I do think that the last scene was very well staged. It was a tremendous fight, and all the deaths were handled better than I'd normally seen. I agree that Trevor Nunn is a wonderful director of Shakespeare, and I consider his Macbeth and Merchant of Venice definitive. There's no such thing as a possible definitive Hamlet, I don't think. He says so himself in the programme notes, and he's decided to go for one particular strand, one particular idea, which is very attention-getting and works quite well, I think, but not in all the casting. I do think Ben Whishaw is very promising, though.
So, Jane, was this a performance that went downhill for you, or did you think he was more successful than that?
No, I have to confer that I thought he'd run out of ideas when he came back from England, and it got a bit dull. But although I did think the final scene, and especially with Gertrude taking to drink, and when Claudius shouted across the stage, "Don't drink," and she assumed that he was saying, "You're a lush," in front of all the court, and then defiantly drank the poison, I thought that was a terrific moment. I do think, I mean, you're never going to get a perfect Hamlet, but I did think there was quite a lot that was very exciting, although I can imagine that we're going to start to pick it all apart and maybe they'll feel as though there's nothing left. But there was some terrific performances. Rory Kinnear as Laertes was the most strongest I've ever seen.
Yes, and I think we'll come on to those other performances later. Just before we start on those, Kate, can I just have your take on Hamlet, the modernised Hamlet?
On the production or on Ben?
On Ben himself.
I thought he actually came and went more than being on high and then gradually soaping off. I thought his first soliloquy, "Oh, that this too solid flesh," I thought that was fantastic, because he came on And there was a sort of large laugh, because he is so spindly and was looking rather petulant, and it was such a kind of familiar teenager at the drinks party of his mum's second marriage, kind of stroppy and bulgy in the background. And then when he did that soliloquy, he was crying so much that he could actually hardly speak it. And if you look at the grammar or the syntax of that speech, it actually makes sense, because it is all over the place. So I thought that was brilliant, and I thought most of the soliloquies were very well done, though I thought sometimes he rushed them a little bit. But I thought he was very good at that. I had more of a problem when he was doing things. It was actually, for me, the problem with the whole production, including him, but not just him, was the business. And I thought it was rather ironic that quite often I wanted people to be doing less. It's kind of ironic in a play that's about, you know, the tragedy of inaction, and everyone was terribly busy. And for example, his the speech where he's thinking of killing himself, and he's talking about Bear Bodkins. And, you know, he had a bottle of pills, I think he had a bodkin, he had a penknife, and he thought just the one would have done. And it's kind of interesting, you sort of, that famous speech about suiting the word to the action, and you think, but you don't have to suit every word to an action. We've got the idea he might just be talking about something theoretical. So that, I had more of a problem with a sort of an over-busyness in the production than anything else, really.
I felt that over-literal quality was what bedeviled the entire production. It was as if Trevor Nunn, whose great hallmark is fantastic clarity, and, you know, I saw Macbeth very young, and, you know, I'm sure lots of people around this table were overwhelmed by great Trevor Nunn productions when young, and that wasn't done because there were sort of cue cards held up, and I felt that this production was, it's as if he'd forgotten that you don't have to be over-deliberate for the young. It was like this was being done for foreign people who were a bit deaf. So it's all over-explained. And, oh, isn't it clever when Gertrude makes... There's a line about her, about spilling. So she spills a drink. Just in case you haven't heard the line, it's underlined. And I just thought, I don't need this. I'm not saying that everyone should be literate. My point is that if you're as good a director as Trevor Nunn, you don't need to be that literal.
And
you
actually,
can
yes.
get it across.
Strangely, to start with, I thought, well, perhaps he's giving these young actors something to do because they're nervous. But actually, they were better when they didn't have things to do, because they were intelligent actors, so they could actually convey the meaning of the words without getting out a Bear Bodkin.
But also, sorry, I was just going to add, but it was also the lighting, wasn't it? That there were sort of lines that were picked out, and suddenly there would be a spotlight on Time is Out of Joint, or To What Issue Will This Come, you know? And I thought that was a bit sort of A-level texting.
Yes, I mean, the lighting was used to very extreme effect. Mm. And I mean, there were moments when you had Hamlet's shadow looming over him like Nosferatu. Mm. And I know that there was, you know, the great steps at the back as well, that, you know, people would come down and they'd be in, and then very suddenly the lights would come down so that the steps would disappear again. And I did think that jarred. I thought it was all happening far too quickly.
Well, it did almost seem like a didactic kind of performance. He was very much aware that young people were going to come in to see this and was playing to that, I thought. But nevertheless, I do think that the concentrating on the youth made a lot of sense of Hamlet's self-absorption and also his disgust at his mother's sexuality. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I also like the fact that...
Because you also had him sitting on her knee, which was very unsexual.
Absolutely, and I like that. I think we've had too many attempts at Freudian Gertrudes, a part which is very underwritten and which I thought Imogen Stubbs played remarkably well, actually. I thought she was riveting, perhaps almost too riveting. I couldn't take my eyes off her in the play scene, for instance, that this sex and shopping lady really did not wish to be at the play and was very bored until she realised it was actually about her. But there were lots of things in the production which I thought were positive, and I wouldn't want to give the impression that I was... for myself, anyway, that I was being turned in negative about it.
The other thing I liked about it, part of the Oedipal thing, where I thought, because he sat on her lap quite late in that scene, and I thought, oh no, we're going to have an Oedipal footnote. And actually it didn't. You kind of thought, actually that's not Oedipal. And it's kind of true. You know, he might do that, just as a very fond... And I liked about his performance that he was kind of naturally warm. And that's the other thing I liked about the production in general, that I've seen so many Hamlets where, you know, it's real politic and it's a very grey, frosty, cold court. Everyone's spying on everyone. There's no real affection. Polonius is very dictatorial as a parent. And it ran counter to that. And it didn't always quite work because Ophelia was almost too sturdy to lose her mind. But I quite like the fact that there was, it was more tragic in that they could have been happy families.
Did you think that worked with Polonius? Because I thought, I liked the way that he was much more humane and he didn't forget about Ophelia, which
I really like Polonius.
But on the other hand, there still is that scene about eavesdropping on Laertes, so I sort of thought
there was a bit of a clash there.
I did think that Polonius was the performance of the night. I also think that there's something seriously rotten in the state of Denmark if you come away singing the praises of Polonius when you're watching Hamlet. For me, Gertrude, Imogen Stubbs, it was all so one note. I absolutely agree with Kate that it's a really interesting idea to have them, to have the whole family that young. And the fact is that Imogen Stubbs as Gertrude to Tom Mannion's Claudius could very easily have another child. Mm-hmm. That's seriously interesting. But I'm not sure that that's the play that was written, and I'm not sure how far you can really go with that. I mean, in the closet scene, for me, I didn't believe he'd just murdered anyone. I didn't believe that the stakes were high enough. There was quite interesting kind of anecdotal acting going on that they'd discovered, but I just didn't believe what was happening. When you watch even the DVD of Trevor's Macbeth, there's an absolute sense that Judi Dench and Ian McKellen have just killed someone and this is going to wreck their lives or make their lives, and there's really high stakes. And the stakes here seem to be incredibly low, because if all you do is accentuate the youth, you get the callowness of everything, but you don't get the emotional complexity, and nowhere was that more clear, I felt, than in the way Ophelia had been directed.
Well, can we focus a little bit more on the modernisation? Because I think that came through specifically in the characterisation of Ophelia leaping up and down in her bedroom to club music when she said that she was in fact sewing in her closet.
Yes,
how did you feel? I mean, what did you feel specifically about these modern touches and Laertes brandishing his machine gun? Heather.
Well, you still end up with Hamlet killing Polonius with a sword, which is slightly awkward. I actually thought it made life very difficult for Ophelia, because she was fine when she was bopping in her bedroom, but the mad scene I thought was really well, I'm not sure it's fair to say that's beyond her, but it certainly was too much of a strain to get to it from the position that she'd been given.
I felt like it was quite attention seeking as well, and when she was hitting her head in a way that Hamlet had, you thought she's just trying to get the same attention as him. I mean, Jane, were you more sympathetic?
I disliked Ophelia from start to finish, I'm afraid, and I could hardly bear to listen to her or look at her. And as you say, that way of playing madness, you know, is just the last thing you long not to see in that part.
Yes, it's very, very school production, that mad scene.
Incredibly school production, incredibly sort of saying the words. And I mean, I like the way that she was brought on to see Polonius's body, is to sort of give her that little push over into insanity, but I just didn't think the actress was capable of
I actually didn't mind her at the start. I quite liked her at first in that she was quite cheeky and settled and confident of herself, and I hadn't seen that before, but I think that makes it very hard in the transition, and that's partly the problem of her being a modern Ophelia, that she was sort of happy with her sexuality and there wasn't a repressive regime stopping her. And so they tried to help her path to madness by showing you know, her with Polonius's corpse to remind you what she'd been through, but she seemed too steady all the way through to then flip into madness. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I was surprised by Trevor Nunn's directing in that I think she's a good enough actress to have been far better in the mad scene than she was. I mean, I couldn't believe she hadn't been finer tuned than she was. I mean, it was very kind of shouty and unrefined as a performance. I actually also had a problem with the set in a strange way.
I was just going to bring us on to that, because I think his huge set, John Gunter's huge set, it brings that sort of sense of a vast, looming, hostile atmosphere, and again you have this kind of this sense of the comings and goings of the court, because you can see the stairways and there are quite a few doors, but also vast, it was quite strange, small doors, but vast door frame, so you had that constant sense of the characters being dwarfed.
For me, it just felt completely confused visually. You know, why have we got a set that, you know, I swear could have been done by Edward Gordon Craig in 1904, and then, you know, which is all literally out of, you know, Appia textbooks about lighting those sets. You know, that was revolutionary then. That looks staid and dull. And then you've got Philippe Starck, fake Louis XV see-through chairs. I mean,
but that's what I liked about it, because the castle had this sense of great history. And yet here were these people, I mean, Claudius and Gertrude, who just weren't living up to that history, and were these sort of modern people wandering around in this place which they didn't really fit.
That's quite interesting, because for me it looked aesthetically as if they changed their mind halfway through. But it's quite interesting that you felt that they were kind of sitting in the wrong castle, because I felt it looked as if they'd sort of dumped a few bits of set and
but props. This was a production, wasn't it? I mean, it was completely politics free. I mean, we didn't have any sense of Claudius as a ruler, so that it was a reminder that he was failing to do that.
Except for the soldiers who reminded me of the Falklands. So I actually, when you said it was Hamlet for the iPod generation, I actually don't think it was, because I was thinking when Ophelia was dancing around in her bedroom, I was thinking she would have an iPod, and she didn't. She had a ghetto blaster, and I thought, well, it's. I actually thought it wasn't. I thought it was a little bit out of date, and I'd seen it before.
I sort of agree with you. It had that kind of feeling of a man in his 60s trying to catch up with the younger generation.
Well, he has got children that age. He should have asked.
Yes.
I don't mean they wouldn't have a ghetto blaster, but I felt as if it was trying to be very up to the minute, but actually wasn't.
Yes.
Wasn't strikingly so. You know, had it been a sort of avant-garde German production, she would have had an iPod.
for me, and I know this is unkind, but it felt, lots of this production felt like the stopped watch that is right twice a day. There were moments where that obsession with finding kind of modern correlatives for bits of the text, little moments like that sometimes were quite wonderful, but actually, as an overarching concept on the production, for me, it strangled the play. I was completely unmoved by it. As I say, I was impressed by Ben Whishaw. But I just thought, well, what's the point of doing Hamlet if you haven't got a Hamlet that's got the weight?
Well, I thought the final scene was actually rather moving. I thought the deaths were very well handled. Even Claudius moving towards Gertrude in death after all that had happened. But and I also thought it went very quickly. I didn't think, oh my God, I've been here for nearly 4 hours. It went very speedily to me. I thought it was pacey and kept the attention of the people who'd started at the beginning giggling behind me, and they'd got rapt. The sixth form had been brought along to see it. So it must have achieved something.
So a very mixed verdict. Thank you very much, Heather Neal, Jane Edwards, David Benedict and Kate Bassett.